Okay, for those of you that don't know me, obviously I'm not Pastor Tim, so if you're coming here this morning to hear Pastor Tim speak, sorry, next Sunday, I'm thinking so. But welcome here, welcome to Rosemore Community Church. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this, alright? Dear God, we thank you that we can come here on Father's Day, and that we can celebrate fathers and what they mean to us. They play a pivotal role in our lives, just developing us as men, as women there. I just pray that you would bless them. I just pray that you would help them feel at peace today, give them strength and courage, and just a great day with family, with friends, and whatever they're going to do. I just pray that you will work in the service. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will guide and lead us and direct us to hear what you want to speak to us this morning. I just pray these things in your name. Amen. Alrighty. Love leads to living a quiet life. I have a question for you guys, and I want you guys to take, we'll give 3 or 4 minutes here around your table just to discuss this. But, loud or quiet, what type of person are you? I'll repeat that one more time. Loud or quiet, what type of person are you? If you forget that question, it's up on the screen. Otherwise, go to it.
Throughout the sermon this morning, but
It leads us to this statement. The lives we lead reflect the master we serve. So if our master is money, what would be something that would reflect that as the master we serve? I don't know. Someone give me an example.
Possessions.
Possessions, yep. Possessions, work. Work might become very important. Just a want for material gain. Another example, if this one's a little more abstract, but if relaxation is our master, what might that look like? Anyone got an example?
Palm Springs.
That definitely works. Or?
Video games.
Video games, for sure. Palm Springs, video games, cottage times, things that we all live for. And they're not bad things by themselves, but they're different things that if we just focus on, can become an idol, can become a master we serve. But what's the point? Well, the point is the master we serve is not of this world. As believers, the master we serve is not of this world. And it's great that it's on Father's Day, that Sunday lands on Father's Day, because we get to celebrate our fathers, but we also get to celebrate our Father in heaven. And our master that we serve is God, our Father in heaven, who created us, who loves us, and who died on the cross for us. So, no matter the type of people, and I don't know what you guys all discussed, it's a pretty open-ended question, but no matter the type of person, God calls us to love, and this love is to be exhibited through our living. So this passage that we're entering into this morning calls us into action. It calls us to live a quiet life, and there's different parts of this passage, and we'll keep breaking that down. But I'll read it again for you. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11-12. And I want you to focus on three parts. There's the goal part. There's the how do we get to this goal. And then there's the why. And those three parts are pivotal in this passage. So let's read it again. Make it your goal to live a quiet life. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, but some other translations put it as this. Aspire to live a quiet life. It's something that is tough to do, and that's why Paul is calling it a goal. We're supposed to strive for it, aspire to it. It's not something that easy. Then it moves on. How is this done? The question is, how is this done? By minding your own business. That means paying attention, being active in your lives with the people that are close to with you and in the areas that you need to be active in. Minding your own business and then working with your hands. And we'll get on to a little bit more of this later on, but be active, be out with people, work with your hands, interact. Don't stay out in the shadows, but be active. That way people know that you're living out your faith, right? Just as we instructed you before. Then, the last part, the why. That people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. I was thinking to myself, I was reading this passage, and I was thinking, why, Paul? Why? Like, it's all good and fine for the people in Thessalonica, but why does it actually, what does it matter to us in the 21st century? And the why is, because then the people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. Respect the way you live. Something we maybe should strive for a little more in our culture. If we don't live a quiet life, we will never gain the respect of outsiders, and our example of faith may be forfeit, ultimately making our words forfeit. Our words are the way we speak to other people, but they really are only useful if they're backed up by action. Words without faith, without action, are dead. And those words, they become forfeit when our actions don't line up with the gospel, with the life we present, and the person we serve, which is Jesus. We can't be effective in sharing our faith with others if those people don't respect us. So everyone, who enjoys being liked? Hands up. I know I do. I think most people enjoy being liked. And that's all right. You know, it's all right to enjoy being liked, but I think we often lose something more important than being liked. The question is, do we really want to earn respect? Like is this feeling that comes and goes, whereas respect is earned. And Paul's passage here in 1 Thessalonians 4 is telling us, you know, live a quiet life. Work with your hands. That's how you earn respect. I think so often we strive to be liked and to be loved, when maybe we need to strive to earn respect. And that will carry us a lot longer, and our words will mean more when people respect who we are, more than just who, if they like us or not. Because that can, people can respect people without having to always like them, right? And so, respect is gained through living a quiet life, that's our goal, through the actions of minding our own business and working hard. So what is a quiet life? That is the question. What is a quiet life? Actually, I want you guys to turn your tables for a minute and just ask yourself, what is a quiet life? Just 1 minute here.
Trust in the Lord will be enriched.
Again, we see a greedy man, someone who wants their own gain, stirs up strife. The one who trusts in the Lord puts their ways aside and gives God the control will be enriched. I want to turn here quickly to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. As soon as I get, I just used the tab. That would be glorious here. You guys can turn there with me if you want, but once I'm there, we'll start. I'll start reading. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. This, you guys will know this passage probably pretty well. It's a pretty famous passage. So. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous, boastful, or proud or rude. I think that is part of what Paul is trying to get at in 1 Thessalonians. He's calling us to a quiet life, to be peacemakers, to love, to not be jealous or boastful or proud or rude, but instead, in turn, walk the walk, or talk the talk and walk the walk. Paul writes to the Thessalonian church about love. To love God and others is to preach the transforming news of the gospel, but we can't talk the talk without walking the walk. That's huge, and that's important. About 10 years ago, I played hockey for about 10 years. That's what I'm trying to say. I played hockey for about 10 years, and in my later years of playing hockey, the dressing room was not always the place that I loved to be. It was often full of swearing, of gossip, of just talking about people in inappropriate ways. It just wasn't a great place always to be. It was filled with guys with different backgrounds, different upbringings and stuff. And so, can I completely be honest for that? I don't know. But it was interesting. There was a couple of us guys that were Christian dudes, and whenever these guys would come over and chat with us, a bunch of this stuff would kind of disappear. It wasn't that we had said anything or that we did anything to tell them, hey, not cool guys, this isn't what we want to do. But they understood that our actions, the way we talked, the way we interacted with them, was not in line with how they would do things, right? And so it was interesting when they'd come and chat with us, all the language, everything would just fall away for a moment. And if if something slipped out, they'd be like, oh, sorry. And it was really interesting to see how that works, because we said nothing, but our actions proved that we didn't want to talk, didn't want to do the things that they were into. That wasn't the people that we were. And by walking the walk, there's a number of us guys in there, but by walking the walk, there was a respect that was built, a camaraderie. Just when we chatted with each other, they respected us, and we still respected them because we're on the same team. We're teammates, we're on the same team. So then we move to minding your own business and working with our hands. Does that really earn us respect? Well, first of all, we can't share the gospel if others do not respect us as believers. Respect is not accepted or given on a whim, it's earned. We can't go off to the person on the street that we've never met and expect them to respect us. There's a level of respect that needs to be earned, and that's through our actions, and that's what Paul is saying here. Our actions do have consequences. Logically, who doesn't respect a person that works hard and doesn't meddle in other people's business? If we just think about this in a logical term, outside of all the scripture that tells us to work hard, logically, if you came up and you saw someone that worked really hard, would you not respect their work and who they are? I think I would. And this doesn't mean we don't care for people, because at the beginning, I said love leads to a quiet life. So we're also called to love in all of this. And this doesn't mean we don't care for people, that we don't show love to people, or even hold people accountable, because those are attributes of love. I love basketball. I played a lot of basketball in my life, and I've committed a lot of time to the sport. But in grade 12, I was playing a tournament in Rose North, and I hope Dad remembers this. I think he remembers this. I don't know. We'll see. But I remember it was one of the later tournaments in the year, and we had played really well up to that point. Beat our last team, blew them out pretty handy, played good defense, and always scored a decent amount of points. And so anyway, we were headed home. I hopped in the vehicle. It was just me and Dad in the vehicle. We were driving home to get ready for some sort of team lineup, I think, or something like that. And he asked me how I felt about the game, and I said, well, you know, I think it went really well. It was enjoyable, it was fun, we played well, moved the ball, we played great defense. And so then I asked him, so what do you think of the game? And I remember him telling me this. He was quite disappointed. Not because of the outcome, but because of my attitude that game, which, by the way, was poor. I didn't have a good attitude that game. I had been complaining with the refs, believing I should get every call, making the game all about me. And I remember one thing that he told me, and this, if you know me, this is something that would bother me, and probably is the reason why I remember this story so well, is he said it reminded him of one player, LeBron James. That's annoying. To which there could be no worse comparison in my books. So, in that moment, Dad taught me what it meant to play hard, fast, and passionately without making the game all about me, ultimately teaching humility. It didn't feel great, I'll be honest. I can remember that feeling like, oh, was that actually me? It didn't feel good. But he did teach me a lesson, and it was in love, and I knew that. And that isn't the only example. I mean, there's been many examples of those type of talks that Dad and I have had since then and before then. But that type of love is what builds a love back, but also a respect back. If you're willing to care about someone enough to tell them when they're wrong, that's what we're called to do. And that's a great part of this living a quiet life. It doesn't mean we're stagnant, it doesn't mean we don't get involved. It means that we are called to still love and to care about those around us. Paul warns the believers in Thessalonica and in other letters to stay away from sins of greed, envy, gossip, idleness, sexual sin, and much more. These are all things of the Roman world. Things that were common, things that were custom, things that were almost expected. The Roman world was full of pursuit of power, lust, and gain at any cost. And you can see that depicted in different movies of the ancient Roman world. You can just see that through even just researching a little bit. There's a lot of corrupt things and very sad things that went on. But the question, and I think something I was thinking about that really stood out in my mind was, if people want to change and want a different life, for those seeking a different life, living in a way that didn't reflect Roman and Greek culture might have been much more appealing. I think often we try to find that line of where are we matching culture, where are we still like in the world but not of the world. And I think it's good to figure out where we stand with Christians on that place. But there's also a fact of life to being that those that want to seek a different life don't want you to reflect everything that's in your culture. Living in a way that didn't reflect Roman culture might have been more appealing. And I think the important part of this passage is working with your hands. The Greek culture was full of a lot of sitting around discussing. A lot of great philosophers came out of that Greek era, but it also came with a lot of idle time, lack of work, and things that the common person wouldn't connect with. And I think this call to work hard, to, live a quiet life, was contrary to that of the Greek culture of the day. I think the same is true for those living in Rose North, the Arm of Morse, Manitoba, Canada, and the world. If we aren't working to grow in our faith, to love God, and to love others, we will lose the respect of those who desire a different life. Both the believer and the non-believer And I think it's actually important to highlight that, both the believer and the non-believers, that if we aren't living to work and to grow in our faith to love God and to love others, we will lose the respect of those who desire a different life. Then, without respect, our words render useless. Love is meant to be an action and is a theme throughout 1 Thessalonians. Paul is calling the Thessalonians to make their love for God in action, which is present outside of this book as well. This call is found also in Matthew 5:14, which says, "A town on a hill cannot be hidden." A town on a hill cannot be hidden. You see a town up on a hill? It's really tough to miss the light that goes everywhere. I love seeing Rosemore Community Church. I love seeing in the mornings I walk in and people are visiting, people are conversing, asking each other how the week went. How are you doing? And that warms my heart, and it makes me excited to come to church. Now, the challenge is, you're doing well in that, and I think this is a little like what Paul through Thessalonians is like, you guys are doing well in this. You are loving, and you are caring for the people around you, but remember to keep loving and caring better. And I think this is a challenge for us as a church to continue to live in a way that's pleasing to God, living a quiet life and working with our hands and minding our own business better than we are right now. And so I love seeing our openness and care for one another on Sunday mornings. The challenge is to continue to be a light on the hill by living a quiet life, which is done by working hard and minding our own business. And the challenge is to do this outside of our church walls, in our workplaces, in our daily lives with our family at home, at the coffee shop, at the store, all these different places. So the application here, and I want you to think about this week, it's pretty simple. Where have I been loud, or where am I quiet? That's a question I want you to ponder on, a question I'm going to be pondering on. Read it again. Where have I been loud? Where am I quiet? I hope this next week goes very well, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Let's pray, and then I'll call the worship team to come up as we pray, okay? Dear God, I just thank you for this chance to come share your word. I just thank you for the chance for it to transform all our hearts. I just pray that you will speak into our lives, remind us that we need you each and every day, but also need to live a life worthy of the calling, to live a quiet life. And I just pray that it'll be filled with love for you, but also love for those around. And I just thank you for this great church to be a part of, and I just pray that you will bless the day ahead. In your name I pray. Amen.